So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we start the show, it is time for another little Carfection Film Club, and this week it is Williams F1, Home of Legends.
The Williams Formula One team has a rich history, and although the last few years have been rough, that legacy remains. A while back, we visited Williams Heritage, where not only some of the most legendary F1 cars ever have a home, but where these older cars are rebuilt, maintained, and generally kept in running condition.
Phil, your thoughts please.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's a little window into the Williams Heritage division, which is where they store all their old cars, like the Villeneuve Williams that has bits of Michael Schumacher still wedged in the side of it, Mansell's old car, Hill's championship winning car, and Jonathan Williams sitting there telling us how happy he is that he put it together and not at all being sad that he wasn't actually running Williams at the time.
He does do a good job of not looking bitter that his entire life's ambition was curtailed by his dad being a dick.
Just to remind you, this is Film Club here.
What I'd like to say about the film is the more I watch of Carfection's other output, the more I feel that my stuff does not fit on this channel.
That was our new Carfection Film Club. Go check it out now. We have linked to it in the show notes. Carfection, for the love of cars. Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the top Google result when you search for Alex Albon job prospects.
Does that mean one of us is on thin ice?
Yep.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the championship point that George Russell will never get of podcasts.
Tortured, but accurate.
I feel like if I was George Russell right now, I'd feel like I feel most days a failure.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake...
Delta!
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the F1 podcast that would be really good if it wasn't for a bit of Ferrari wing embedded in our faces. Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the incredibly spawny virtual safety car of F1 podcasts.
We were going to get away with it anyway, but now we're really going to get away with it.
Big up yourselves. I am Chica Ayres and I run this town now. But enough of that, because we are going to talk about the not San Marino Grand Prix. Once again, Mercedes broke some record or another, won the championship that nobody cares about, and George Russell crashed into a wall. Don't mention Senna or Ratzberger. Oh, shit. That is all to come. Joining me is a freelance motoring journalist who is a world champion now. It is Phil Tromans.
Hello, everyone. Yes, thank you very much. 7 world championships on the bounce. Proud to be a member of the club, which is my way of saying that I've got a Mercedes for the week.
Oh!
Which Mercedes?
What colour is it?
It's what's this year's F1 car called?
I was going to say something very wrong, but I didn't say it. I stopped myself.
That was unlike you. It's a big Mercedes SUV, a GLE. It's quite...
Phil, what colour is it?
Oh, what colour is it? It's white.
Mm. Oh.
And alongside him is a man who has a modern projector with old-fashioned tendencies. It is Terry Saunders.
Okay, so I've just moved house. I have a room with a big white wall, and I thought, you know, it's going to be a long fucking winter with the virus. I'm going to get a projector to watch some films.
Ooh.
So I went on Amazon, and I brought a cheap one. You know, I didn't go HD or all that. I just thought, let's get something cheap, see if it works. And it arrived
360p.
Today. It was, I think it's like 576p, so come on. Come on, Phil. But it's being projected onto wood chip. It doesn't fucking matter. Anyway, I turn it on and I'm like, this is good. And then just stops working. Fans whirring round. No
was
lights
it the light bulb?
Out. That's what I thought. It must have burnt out already. It was like some cheap kind of no-brand Chinese thing. And so I went to the shop to go and buy a new projector because now I've got the idea of buying a projector. But in the shop, all the projectors are like 500 quid. And I'm like, I don't want that projector that much. So I get back home. I'm quite miserable. It's been a long, tiring day. I try the projector again. It doesn't work. So in fury, I hit it. And guess what? Bulb comes on.
It broke. Oh,
no.
No, that's good.
Like an old-fashioned telly.
Wow.
And I'm quite proud. And every now and again, it goes out. And I just got to hit it and the bulb comes on. So I'm really happy with this.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That's the mark of a quality piece of kit.
This is what things were like when I was a kid. You hit them. I feel like the Fonz. I want to watch a film. Hey!
Did you, how much did you pay for this piece of equipment?
£80.
Oh, that's good.
So that's not very much for a projector, but that's still
quite
a lot of
money. Have you looked at the light bulbs, though? Because I used to have a projector in back when I used to live in the peanut factory until the light bulb ran out. And then we looked at how much light bulbs cost to replace and decided was cheaper.
I think these new projectors are all LEDs. I don't think they're as expensive to get a bulb anymore. But anyway,
right.
80 quid, fuck it. I'll put it in landfill, don't care.
Wow.
All right, Dave.
Chica, do you still have a projector? And if not, what else have you been up to?
I no longer have a projector because I'm in with the modern people. I have not had much sleep. I have had 5 hours sleep since yesterday night. I stayed up all night for the US election.
Why?
I was working,
actually. She was suppressing the vote.
I was.
A lot of ballots to burn.
Exactly. I was being a fraud. And it was great fun. I'm hoping that the right man wins, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think sadly we do. Yeah,
she's doing that symbol, that emoji with the little circle hand.
Yeah, that doesn't mean everything's all right anymore.
No, that means everything's all white.
So this was presumably for your employers, Sky Television.
Yes, yeah. But if you subscribe to Sky, you know what your subscription goes to because we all got a pizza each.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? How good is
that? This.
Absolutely.
We never get pizzas at the BBC. I'll just say that.
Well,
now.
No.
Yeah.
Once, my license fee can't go towards that.
Once at Newsnight, some of the others got pizzas, but we didn't. That's the closest I've come to pizza.
Well, you're freelance, aren't you? So.
Yep.
But when
that's one
you
of the benefits that you don't get.
Coffees as well, free coffee and tea, and you go to the cafe. But to get it, you have to say the code words of U.S. election at the till. But I was too embarrassed about going up and being like, U.S. election. So I thought I looked like such a twat. If they were like,
try that. Try that
yeah,
in other shops.
Right.
And see if it
yeah,
works.
Yeah. It's listeners' corner time, which was a very fast left hander, but now has a chicane in it because, well, you know. Sure, Mercedes are now champions and the greatest team ever and all that jazz, but all we really want to talk about is their next great British hope, spanking it into the wall during a safety car when he finally had the chance to win some points. Poor old George Russell. Now, Joel Shapiro says, George really proving to everyone that he truly deserves nothing more than being stuck at Williams in his future. In a few years' time, I think we'll look at him in the way we look at Grosjean. Will Bowen says, George and points is the 2020 version of the Hulk and podiums. And Russell Trigg says, so what happens first, Hulkenberg podium or Russell scoring his first point? Graham Fowle says, was George Russell listening to Marcus Ericsson on the team radio when he crashed?
Well, it's been a while since we've had a safety car wall related incident. And I don't think any of us would have thought it would have been George Russell doing it if we'd have put money on it, would we?
I would.
No.
Okay. Good. Well, moving on. No, I mean, I felt a bit sorry for him, really. But it was a really stupid thing to do.
He did sit by the side and look very sorry for himself. And so I think he did sort of, you know, draw a bit of pity.
Yeah, but, you know, still tits it up, didn't he? That's like, it's the number one, it's the worst possible type of crash you can have in terms of looking like an absolute crumpet, you know.
No, I think the worst is, you know, that bit where they're kind of coming out the pit garage and the guy's doing the kind of hand gestures. I think if you went straight into the wall, that would be the worst.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Or do you never remember years?
Wasn't it at Portugal a long time ago? Was it Berger who did that coming out the pit lane?
Oh.
He literally accelerated out the pit lane and lost it at the exit of the pit lane and just went straight across the main straight and hit the wall. I think it was
there
Portugal. Anyway.
That'll do it.
Although but this wasn't Portugal. So I was
going to say, I don't know why you keep saying Portugal. It's not Portugal.
I'm losing track of all the races. But it's a very embarrassing way to crash. It would have been quite embarrassing anyway, but this was like the only time really when he's going to have a chance to score a point, because he was in the points when it happened.
Do you think he got nervous?
Yes.
I'm torn because, one, normally if any of us in our life fucks up at that level, it's, you know, you've just smashed a bottle of wine in Sainsbury's or something, you know, it doesn't really matter.
I've never done that.
Well, it will happen, Phil. It happens to all of us. Chica, have you ever smashed a bottle of wine in Sainsbury's? Of course you have. Anyway, I've never done it either, actually. it's a really bad metaphor. But wasn't it the start of this year or last year when he... Was it the race that he qualified quite well in and then he fucked it all up? He span off at the start. There was another one.
Austria, I think he lost.
Yeah.
I think it was the first lap. Yeah, he just went barreling on, straight on. So he's done it a few times. This is it. It's not the first time.
This is the problem. No, because they called him Mr. Saturday because he always gets that car qualifying well. But in the races, he's not really shown.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, they call him Mr. Saturday because he's so much better on Saturday than he is on Sunday. So while it's quite nice that he has that Mr. Saturday name, it actually, when you read into it, it's like...
Yeah, here it comes. Well, at least he's not Grosjean, Mr. Tuesday.
He's really good at cooking stuff in the evening on his day off.
He's really good on the days where he doesn't have to get into a car. Then it all goes downhill.
It's a difficult one because he's still young and he is clearly quick and talented, but he's making these mistakes. And if it was his first season, you could maybe let him off, but it's not. He's got quite a few Grand Prix under his belt now, and this is something that keeps happening, and he's going to need to sort this out and not do it again.
Yep.
That would be my professional advice to him, as if I was his driver coach. It'd be like, stop crashing into walls.
If you were Jonathan Williams, what would you say?
Oh, fuck you, Claire.
All right.
So let's talk about another young driver that messed everything up. Alex Albon blotted his copybook, took a massive shit on it, and then set it on fire, and then accidentally... posted it to Helmut Marko. In yet another must-do-well race, he spun on his own and finished last. Now, Edward Knight says, I really do like Albon, but sadly, I think his time is up. Hulk to Red Bull, and then hopefully he can wipe Verstappen's smile off his smug face. Julian Cross said Albon had his chance and just doesn't cut it. Not fair on Max having such a weak teammate. And Tony Waddy says, Alex Albon needed a perfect Imola weekend in order to keep his job. That unforced error was probably his final rookie mistake before heading to his unemployment line. And Robert Sims said, while listening to the last podcast, knowing the outcome of the San Marino, please don't take it easy on Albon.
I'm not going
to. Oh, we haven't.
No.
Right. Well, firstly, can I say something about this rumour about Hülkenberg going to Red Bull? Which is, if he does...
What do you know?
Well, if he does go to Red Bull, let's not kid ourselves, he's going to be as shit as Gasly and Albon. Hülkenberg has never really shown himself to be someone who can, I don't know, get on a fucking podium. And against Max Verstappen, he's going to be, at best, average. So, can everyone stop this fucking internet memeing of going, oh, Hülkenberg is going to be great, he's going to show off.
I don't think he's going to be anywhere near... If he does get the gig, and we don't know that he will, but if he does... I don't think he'll be anywhere near as good as Verstappen, but I think he could be... I think I'd be very surprised if he doesn't get podiums at last.
Anyway, but Albon, bless him.
I mean, you've got to feel sorry for him, but ultimately he hasn't been good enough, repeatedly.
He's a Formula One driver.
he's done well. He's done well. He's got to Formula One, and that's more than any of us at the moment look likely to be able to do.
Chica, God, that's patronizing.
There's still time. Well, you know, me and Terry are getting a bit old, but, you know, you've still got a chance. You'll need more sleep. if this was his last chance, then he needed to not just do all right, he needed to smash it. He needed to grab this final opportunity. What he didn't need to do was bin it himself under very little pressure, report on the radio that he was convinced that somebody hit him when nobody hit him, and finish last.
Yeah, that would be low on the list of ideal objectives.
Yeah, once again, if I was a driver coach,
I'm looking forward to next year's F1 game where it's like, okay, and now it's one of the classic challenges. You're running in the points. You've got to finish 19th.
Yes. actually, on that, I really hope, because F1 2020, is out now? Is it out now? But it's out with like the original plan of all the races. So like half the tracks that are in the game aren't actually...
yeah, there's no pandemic.
Never went to. I hope they do another version where they have all the substitute tracks and, yeah, some of the challenges like that. Like, you're Max Verstappen's teammate. Your challenge is to not spin out and finish last. He's fucked completely. And I will be quite surprised if he's in F1 at all again.
No, he's done.
I mean, who's going to take him after this season?
Well, you got to think, when he was signed to Red Bull, he was in a Formula E contract because he couldn't get a Formula One drive. And then suddenly, Ricciardo going, Gasly went to Red Bull and he got the Toro Rosso drive. No one else cares about him.
No. You know, fair play to him. He's had a few decent performances, but nowhere near enough of them.
His Hamlet was amazing.
His what?
Hamlet performances.
very, very good. But ultimately, he's had way too many shit performances. He's had enough time. He's had quite a few chances, certainly by Red Bull standards.
Well, exactly. His Henry IV Part 3 was shit.
Surprising that Red Bull staged that, if I'm honest. But I was expecting...
Yeah, but they did it on the stratosphere in a balloon with a plane and a dead guy. No. I don't know.
while drinking Red Bull, yeah. Yeah, he's screwed. Exactly how screwed he is, we will wait to see. But I think they'll let him. You know, obviously they'll let him go to the end of the season. But
obviously, it's Red Bull.
I was going to say.
No, well,
I'll just chuck him out mid race. How else will he learn?
They would rather
Order him to pit and then get somebody else to get in his car and carry on the race.
Red Bull would rather start the race with an empty car and a brick on the pedal than Alex Albon.
In hapless Canadian millionaire news, Lance Stroll ran down his Jackman and nearly ran down a load of other marshals by barreling around at full speed under a safety car while there were still people clearing up the remains of George Russell's car. Now, Tristan Clayton said Stroll almost getting too much into the Imola spirit by adding that fatality count. Daddy could always buy some more marshals, though. Simon Lee said, Lance Stroll's graphic with his daft grin appearing on screen just before the replay of him careering into one of his dad's employees said it all.
Oh, the adventures of Lance Stroll. He's entertaining, if nothing else.
But wasn't
when
it
you say one of his...
Wasn't it he had cold brakes or something?
Well, there were two separate incidents here. The first one, and I can't remember what order they came in, but the first one was when he came into the pits, overshot his pit box, slammed into his Jackman who went flying backwards and had to be helped away. And he said, oh, sorry about that, guys. I had cold brakes.
We've all done it.
You know, we've all done it. You know, at least he didn't break a rib.
Oh, is that a dig at me?
It was, no reaction at all.
Well, I didn't break a rib, I cracked a rib for a start.
Oh, my bad.
It's the same.
But also, it's not the same.
Oh, it is the same.
If it's not whole, it's broken.
If it's not intact, then it's broken.
If you crack a bowl
and it's got...
If you crack a bowl, you could still use it if it's got a crack in it. If it's broken,
why would you use it if it's got a crack in it?
Because it's the only bowl you've got. If you've got one bowl with a crack in
it... It is still classed. If you've cracked your rib, it is still classed as broken.
Yeah. Anyway, right. From bowl to stroll, the second incident was under the safety car when everybody who's shit gets to unlap themselves for some reason that I've still never quite figured out. He basically went off at full race speed while there were still people on the track. And there's footage of him almost... how to put this, Tom Pricing a marshal. which would have been quite messy. If anybody remembers the 1977 South African Grand Prix, which I'm sure we all do.
Oh, I've seen that. That's horrible.
Yeah, one of the drivers hit a marshal and killed him and himself, which I'm sure none of us want to see, even if it was Lance Stroll. So I don't know what's going to be done about it, but I think they're going to be looking quite carefully at the rules for unlapping oneself under the safety car, because that shouldn't have happened.
Although the thing about Lance Stroll running over one of his dad's employees, probably not the first time. There's probably been a cleaner in the past where that's happened.
Dad, I ran over another one of your employees. What are you going to do about it?
I still go by the theory that Lance Stroll does not want to be a Formula One driver, and his dad's making him do it. Every race just makes that feel more likely.
He's not hiding it very well these days, is he?
Yeah.
We're just running into stuff.
And also, I haven't seen it yet, but there was a lot of talk on the internet about a really shirty interview he did with F1 afterwards. Have you seen it?
Yeah, okay. He just didn't want to answer that. He was just very... You know, rich boy doesn't want to be held to account.
He just looked like a tit nearly running over a mechanic. I mean, I would want to stay away from public interviews for a bit.
Yeah, it's his job, though.
Unless that's a new symptom of COVID, you lose your taste, you lose the smell, you lose your braking distance.
Yeah, you become shit at F1 and you forget how to do interviews.
In other news, the driver market is simultaneously hotting up but also cooling down. With several teams announcing that they are keeping their drivers for next year, Williams are sticking with Calamity Russell and Moneybags Latifi. But perhaps more surprising is that Alfa Romeo are staying with Kimi Raikkonen and Antonio Giovinazzi. Are we surprised with that?
A little bit.
Yeah, after Grosjean and what's his name? I've forgotten him already. We're gone from Haas. I suppose it kind of makes sense. There's no one really ready to take the Alfa Romeo drive. Because Mick Schumacher was maybe going to get a Haas and maybe Mazepin too. So maybe there's that argument. But also, Kimi Raikkonen is, I don't know, 70 now. And Giovinazzi is all right, but fucking hell.
I keep thinking every year this must be Raikkonen's last season.
We've genuinely been saying that since this show started, which is 2015. We've been saying that every year. In fact, I think our first episode we were talking about how it was time for Kimi Raikkonen to retire. He's never going to leave. Which is weird, because he doesn't seem to want to be there. He's not bothered about any of it.
It's the perfect sitcom.
He hasn't wanted to be there since his first race.
I don't think he ever wanted to be there. I don't think he was that bothered about winning the title. Giovinazzi, I am quite surprised, because we've said before, he's like the most anonymous driver. The only thing I can say about him is that he often has a good first lap. But it's a good first lap from the shitty qualifying position he's ended up in. Most of the time he's not been as good as Raikkonen, he says without having the stats in front of him, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Don't make it
surely,
up.
Surely, no, that's what we do.
That's my job.
Surely, yeah, it's all of our jobs now.
Although I will say that Giovinazzi's stats are shit compared to Raikkonen's.
I mean, surely there's somebody else in the Ferrari Academy. Haven't Ferrari's got loads of young Academy
They've
drivers.
They've got Mazepan, Triazepan, Diazepan.
Yeah, exactly.
Staying with the driver market, we all expect Lewis Hamilton to re-sign for Mercedes next year, except we all expected that some time ago, and it still hasn't happened. And now Hamilton says that it might not, with no guarantees that he'll be in F1 next year. What?
Yeah, what's this? What's all this about? Did you see all this? Hamilton in an interview casually dropping in the fact that says, well, I don't know what's going to happen next year, or I might not even be in F1 next year.
It seems that Toto Wolff is bored and he's leaving his role next year, is the word on the street.
But he's and not really leaving his role, is he? He's being like a part-time Toto.
Yeah.
Part-time Toto. It's a good song.
Just a toe. And he is going to be doing something else in Mercedes, you know, washing cars or something. You can see Hamilton's point of view of... The dream team is him and Toto. So if Toto leaves, someone else is going to step in. There's going to be some disruption. So maybe he's threatening to leave to maybe get Toto to stay for another year. Because you can't imagine Hamilton leaving when, let's face it, next year's championship with pretty stable rules is pretty much a slam dunk for him. You know, that'd be 8 world championships. He can quit next year and be the bestest world champion ever until the next one comes along. So I can't see him not signing, but maybe Mercedes wants to sign for another few years and he doesn't want to be 1 year.
Yeah, but this is the whole 1 year, because he might want a 1 year contract and Mercedes will probably not be very keen on that. But I can't see that lasting, because surely the choice of like, well, you can have me for 1 year or you can not have me at all,
Yeah, exactly.
They'd want him.
But if he did go, who would Mercedes get? Because it's going to be Bottas and not Russell in the wall. Mm-hmm. Oh, how's Russell's championship going? He's in the wall.
It'd be Nico Hülkenberg.
Oh, fuck off.
God.
or Albon.
Roman Grosjean.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Wehrlein could come back. Is he still a Mercedes driver? I think he is.
I don't care for him anymore. Anyway, let's face it. He'll be there next year. I'll put my house on it.
I'd be exceedingly surprised if he wasn't. But it's interesting nonetheless that this is all going on. This will be, I'm sure, in the book in like 15 years' time of what really happened.
Ooh. They both said, I want more money, and then they got more money.
I doubt it's about money. I mean, if there's one thing that I'm sure neither of them are short of, it's money. And Toto's probably got more money than Hamilton, to be honest.
That's something that someone living in Haywards Heath would say.
Tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake, or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake, or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we might be right, well, you owe us a beer. So thank you to Joseph Williams, who said, I am isolating at home with kids for two wet, dull weeks, and FF1S podcasts are blocking out the screams. Well, glad we got some use there. And Becky Hayward.
Thank you, Becky. Hey.
Thanks, Becky Wood. Hayward. Hayward. That's what I say every morning.
Hey. Oh, I was going to say something nice about being out for a country walk and seeing some twigs and going, hey, Wood. And
that's you took it to a different... Hayward's Heath.
That's right.
Hayward.
Hey, there we go. Oh my God, she's here.
And a big thank you to William Miner for taking out a regular monthly beer donation.
Oh, William, thank you so much for the regular beer. If there's one thing I like more than a beer, it's regular beer.
Except I'm not sure this show is suitable for miners. Because I say a lot.
Go to ff1s.com/pint, pint, pint. What's that in the sky? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Thames.
Brilliant.
Did you write that?
Yeah, I'm very pleased with that.
So it looked like it might not be a Mercedes 1-2 with Verstappen stepping in there, but it all went wrong for Terry's favourite driver. Anyway, who cares, because they've won
Wehrlein.
It 7th year in a row. But whatever happens, Hamilton can definitely go further.
Yeah, he will. Well, it wasn't really... I mean, Hamilton won. And Hamilton won despite actually not having a brilliant weekend by his standards, because he sort of... Well, he didn't quite spawn into it. But he did sort of spawn into it, because Bottas was quickest all through everything. Actually got pole, held the lead... but then ran into a bit of Vettel's car, which knackered his car. And then was still in the lead for quite a while, but then Hamilton did the overcut. And then was helped by the virtual safety car. And then was miles in the lead, and then had it from there. But this was Mercedes's weekend, really, because now they are the most winningest team what has ever F1'd.
No, that's not true, is it? They're not the most winningest. They're the most consecutive winningest.
The consecutivist most winningest team what has ever F1'd.
But I said this on the live tweeting that we did for the race, but I think that Valtteri Bottas is the unluckiest driver to have ever raced around Imola.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I'm including Ratzenberger and Senna in that. Because at least they have our fucking respect.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair enough. Yeah, I mean, you know, there'll be no emails or letters or campaigns as a result of that statement, I don't think.
No, I actually don't think there will be. Because A, not enough people care. And B, it's Bottas. Who gives a shit?
I mean, he was quite unlucky. Because this was actually a weekend where he drove really well. And he probably... I mean, you could argue if he hadn't hit Vettel's car. And once again, there's Vettel fucking everything up. Not just for him, but for everyone.
He probably would have won. What happened? I never quite got to the bottom of why Vettel's car was lodged in his face.
Because Vettel dinged his car into Magnussen on the first lap and spun Magnussen around. And I think that was the end plate from his front wing.
It was just lying on the track.
So when Bottas came flying around next lap as the first man there, somehow, despite a fairly wide track, managed to hit the one tiny little bit of Ferrari that was sitting on the track,
and it wasn't wedged tiny, into somewhere. Though. It was quite big.
It was like half a Ferrari.
Maybe Vettel was actually still in that bit of the car.
Hello, Valtteri.
Help! I mean, yeah, it was quite unlucky. But I don't feel we can take the piss out of him too much, because he actually drove really well. And apparently it fucked the car up so much that he was losing 0.7 of a second a lap, which is a lot in F1, even if you're in a Mercedes. So to still bring it home second is pretty good. So, yeah, fair play to him. Bottas probably was the better Mercedes driver this weekend. But, ooh, you know, still lost.
Renault! Ricciardo got himself another podium. So despite Ocon DNFing for having transmission problems, Renault are now in third. I forget they're quite good.
Yeah, well, they're consistently all right. I think have we talked about this before? I think we have. Everyone else goes a bit up and down, up and down, up and down, and they're just like consistently, yeah, all right. And now they've had two podiums on the bounce. It was last year.
No, it was two and three. But
okay, yeah.
It's like McLaren were the kind of the Renault of the first half of the year, and now Renault are the Renault of the second half. It's like...
Yeah, McLaren have dropped away. Racing Point lost a load of points because of their whole dodgy brakes, and then both of their drivers got coronavirus at one point or the other. So
they did, didn't they? That's quite funny, really.
What did you think of Ricciardo's drive?
It was good. I mean, his masterstroke was not pitting under the safety car and staying out, which got him the track position, and then he just sort of basically was looking in his mirrors and steering from left to right on the track to stop anyone getting past him. Because it's quite a hard track to overtake on.
Just for the record, I also didn't pit under the safety car.
Well done. And that, were it not for Ricciardo. Were it not for Ricciardo, you could have had a podium. Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of what-ifs on the way, but I could have got there.
he did well. I mean, to a certain extent, he lucked into it, but, you know, to be in it, you've got to be in it. What? I don't know.
Good.
Ocon was also there. His car died, but he wasn't as quick as Ricciardo anyway. So, you know, maybe he would have been seventh.
I've had enough of fucking Ocon. I mean, he was...
What's he doing next year?
He's still at Renault.
He's still there, next to Alonso. His only chance is to absolutely annihilate Alonso.
I'm starting to reevaluate when he was teammates with Perez at Force India. Because it was like... He was like the plucky upstart that crashed into Perez. But now I'm reevaluating, going, I think he's not great. I think he's just all right.
He's really struggled against Ricciardo. Whether that's because he's not as good as we thought he was, or Ricciardo is actually really good.
Or
which
both.
I think he actually is. Yeah, maybe both. But he's actually, for all me saying Giovinazzi's been anonymous, Ocon's been very anonymous. I don't think I've actually seen him all year.
Ocon, Ockoff.
Wow.
That's good.
That's the new Renault advert. It's Papa Nicole for the 21st century. Ocon.
Nicole. Ocon.
AlphaTauri. The AlphaTauri gals and guys home race. The pressure got to Gasly, though. That's pressures and water pressure issues. And he retired. Nice. Thank you. Kvyat had a good drive. 8th to 4th. That's pretty good for him. What did you think?
Actually, really good. Well, apart from the fact that one of them didn't finish, actually a really good performance by the AlphaTauri.
Still, that's good for AlphaTauri.
Gasly.
The only problem with Kvyat doing well is that Gasly was a lot quicker than him all weekends. You kind of think Gasly might have got on the podium.
No, well, he would have done. This is it. Like, Kvyat did very well to come in fourth, and, you know, wish he'd done that several times earlier this season, then he might have a drive next year. But Gasly, was looking really good until his car failed. So it's a bit of a shame, really, because, you know, they are theoretically a team in the ascendancy, apart from the fact that they're going to have to find a new engine soon. But, you know, they're officially now not the junior team of Red Bull. Red Bull are saying that they're the sister team, the sibling team. They're on an equal footing. I mean, they're not, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah, and why are they saying the car, that? That's weird.
I'm not quite sure. But the car is probably because they haven't got any junior drivers to stick in there at the moment. So they're like, oh, no, it's not the junior team anymore. It's a sister team. We're going to get any old drivers. But
have you got a sister?
I have.
Would you talk about her that way? Get any old driver in?
I'm not even going to answer that question. Saying. I'm going to take the stroll amendment and not say anything.
Ferrari! Chapter 17 in the Vettel tragedy. Made contact with Magnussen at the start, and then things seemed to be going peachily until a bad pit stop.
Oh, crikey. Well, first of all, let's talk about Leclerc, who once again, fifth, really good in a really rubbish car. Fair play to him. He just keeps doing it.
How does he do it?
He has been one of the top three drivers of the year, I would say, along with Hamilton and Verstappen. Nails it every time. It's a shame he's got an absolute shitbox. Vettel, terrible start. Then, actually, not bad. You know, was looking like he was going to get points until actually Ferrari bollocked his race rather than he bollocked his own race. With the worst pit stop that I've seen in a while. And while I was watching it, I was like, is there really a problem with the tyre or are you just fucking with him?
I was thinking when I was watching this race how, obviously, 2020 has not quite been the year that any of us wished for or expected. But there was a period in time where this year was going to be about three things. It was going to be about, at last, a ding-dong between Hamilton, Verstappen and Leclerc for the championship. And also a last-minute thing of Racing Point, the pink Mercedes that's been forgotten about because they're going to win all the races because they're going to be so good. And it's not really turned out like that. And Leclerc is doing his best, and Verstappen's doing his best. But it's not the year we were sold, is it?
No, but, I mean, that's the team's fault. You know, we've talked about this. It's not Mercedes' fault for that everyone else is not as good as them. You know?
True.
And it's not even the driver's fault. Again, you know, Verstappen and Leclerc have been pretty much as good as Hamilton, I would say. They just haven't got as good a car. But in terms of what they're getting out of what they've got, they're doing brilliantly. But the teams are letting them down. And Ferrari are letting everybody down.
Racing Point. Stroll isn't getting invited to the Racing Point Zoom Christmas party after knocking over a mechanic. But Perez did a badly timed pit stop, didn't he?
Yes, he did. This was the whole pitting under the safety car thing. Because we've always said, if there's a safety car, you pit under the safety car. And clearly Racing Point have been listening. And I do know that there's actually a couple of people at Racing Point that do listen to the podcast. So, hi guys, sorry we're about to shit on you. He pitted under the safety car, which, as we all know, is what you're supposed to do. But then loads of other people didn't pit under the safety car. And I think everyone was quite surprised at Racing Point that they didn't pit under the safety car. And suddenly Perez hadn't got the track position that he'd worked quite hard to get. And at Imola, where it's hard to overtake, he then came out with his fresh tyres but couldn't overtake the people in front and didn't do as well as maybe he should have done. So I don't really know what the lesson is from that. Don't pit under the safety car? No, you should pit under the safety car.
Just don't be Perez or Stroll, and then you do all right.
Right. I mean, Perez has had a reasonable season, apart from the coronavirus thing. He's very good with his tyres, you know.
McLaren! Sainz managed to miss Albon skidding out of his F1 2021 seat in front of him, and the McLarens finished in 7th and 8th.
What's there to say, really, about McLaren? I mean,
I didn't really see much of them, to be honest.
Yeah, they're not as quick as they were.
No, I mean they did this big kind of change in aero philosophy a few months ago, and it sounds like it's not gone well. But
it sounds like the change is from being all right to not being as good, which is a curious direction.
I mean, maybe there's a master plan, but it feels like they fucked up.
It's not over till it's over, Terry. Until we're standing on the podium at Abu Dhabi. And, you know, let's just see who's world champion, shall we? I was going to say Sainz looks like he's getting the best of Norris, but actually Norris is slightly ahead in the championship, but it's super close. Like
Sainz has had a lot more DNFs. You know, Sainz has had a lot more unlucky car things this year.
Norris has had a few as well. Norris got nobbled by Stroll last race or the race before, whenever it was.
No, true, but I think Sainz is unluckier. You know, he's the one that signed for Ferrari after all.
No, that is true. That is pretty unlucky. But, you know, I think they're doing all right. They've had a bit of bad luck and the car isn't as good as it was.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. Alfa Romeo. This proves that treating your drivers well works. After extending the drivers' contracts, both came home in the points. Is that a coincidence?
Yes. Well, maybe not.
Oh. No.
Oh.
Yeah, no. Well.
Yes.
Is it? Yes.
Maybe.
This shows
maybe
here not. Which one of you believes in workers' rights.
Well, they've got a work weekend, haven't they? They've got that kind of
union. Yeah, but they get double time for it. You know, they both did all right. But, I mean, they, you know, there were quite a few retirements. What were there, 5 retirements? Something like that.
Oh.
So, if it weren't for them, they wouldn't have got any points. But, well done. To be in it.
Prizes. Got to be,
yes. And their prizes are...
Another year working in the same job.
Another year of this shit. You know, fine. They did well. I think Giovinazzi was much more excited about it than Raikkonen was, but, you know, well done.
Williams! Now, we've talked about Russell having a safety car crash, but Latifi finished in 11th, which is pretty good for a Williams.
I mean, let's be honest. What's going to happen this year is that Russell is not going to get a point again, and Latifi is going to do a Kubica and get the point that he doesn't really deserve, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. Do we think Russell will ever get a point?
No.
Because he has got a drive next year at Williams.
He does deserve one.
It's not about deserving, Chica.
No, I know it's not.
What does... You got to be in it to deserve points, prizes.
Exactly.
You are right. You are right.
I get a feeling there's a T-shirt in this somewhere.
Well, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, you know, Latifi did all right. You know, he beat the Haases and Albon and Stroll and Vettel, all of whom had issues of some sort, whether that be crashes or being shit. You know, Latifi did okay in a shit car and not an amazing driver. So fair play to him, still not a point. But, you know, he wasn't far off. Had Russell not binned it into the safety car, he would have been beaten by Russell. Fine.
Hey, yes. Magnussen
that lasted
spun
longer than their race. Sorry.
Magnussen spun and Grosjean had a 5-second penalty. Another weekend not to remember for Haas.
That was fucking brilliant at the end of the race when it all finished and they were going through the things and then right at the end it popped up, Grosjean, 5-second penalty. Like, of course it was. It's like they'd forgotten that they hadn't given Grosjean a penalty that race. So they're like, oh, we better do it now. They're both gone. What's the point? I don't know why they're bothering showing up, to be honest.
I wouldn't
show
up. If
you knew that you were getting the boot, would you still go to work? Would you still...
Not only getting the boot, but if you knew you'd finish last. Lost a fucking point. Oh, yeah. Hundreds of thousands of pounds. Yeah, that'll do it. And that's just Magnussen.
Oh, I wish Magnussen brought out a cookbook.
It would be called...
What sort of cuisine would he be into?
Balls, just balls.
Balls of mutton balls, lamb balls, chicken balls.
Chocolate salty balls.
Do chickens have balls? Probably cocks.
You can have chicken balls from the Chinese takeaway, can't you? So why not those?
Ooh. Yeah, but they're not chicken balls, are they?
Oh, they don't need to actually be testicles.
Yes, they do. That's the fucking concept.
Oh, my bad. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Balls.
We've got very different ideas as publishing editors, haven't we?
What do you think when he said suck my balls? Do you think he meant testicles? He didn't mean tennis balls.
You've got to think commercially, Terry. You know, you can't... It's going to be a harder sell.
His brand is sucking testicles. God.
Less balls. Time for red balls.
Fewer.
Oh, fuck off.
Piss off. Verstappen said, send it, as he overtook Bottas, which I presume is the socially distanced version of fuck you. And then he got a rear tyre failure because of debris. What debris was it?
Was it debris?
I thought it was a debris.
It would make sense that it was, but I hadn't heard that it was. But I've been busy and haven't read up properly. So, yeah, it might well have been debris.
All right, if you're saying I'm not busy enough.
Well, you know. You see, Chica, when you're a freelancer, there's no such thing as a...
sitting around all day.
You and your luxury salaried jobs with your free pizzas.
Yeah, my free
and
pizza.
And your pensions. Yeah.
Did you get a whole pizza?
Yeah, because it's COVID, isn't it? You can't share.
You can share a pizza in COVID times. You just can't be near the people when you get it. If it's been sliced properly...
salivate on it when you're choosing which piece of meat feast you want.
Which you obviously
I wouldn't know. I'm a vegan.
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry. Yes, yeah, I forgot about your veganism.
How's the
apart
vegan...
from cheese.
I'll tell you what. Milk. Ben and Jerry's vegan ice cream. Very good.
Okay. Right. Is that what you've been living on?
Yeah.
Is that the only vegan thing you eat?
That and beer.
It's not all beer is vegan, though.
Well, what do points make? Vegans.
Red anyway. Bull! Oh, I've done Red Bull. Jesus
no,
Christ.
Well, let's do them again. They did, no, they no, did no. not. It was a shit weekend. No points amid all that bollocks. I mean, Verstappen was looking all right, but yeah, something happened and his tyre exploded and he crashed. And then
Verstappen restarted, yeah. Albon spun.
Yes, which we've talked about, and yeah. Spun himself out of a career. What do you reckon, Formula E? As per the original plan? I think he's got to look at it as like, I was always destined to be a Formula E driver, I just happened to have a couple of fun years in F1 as a little distraction.
Would you say they're fun? But Verstappen, bless him.
He was doing well until his car failed.
Yeah.
All of which brings us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
In the lead of the championship so far this year and likely to win is, I'm not signing for next year, it's Lewis Hamilton. In second place, I'll do whatever they ask, it's Valtteri Bottas. In third place, I'm Alonso, aren't I? It's Max Verstappen, realising that he's always in the wrong car at the wrong time. Alpine looks like a good bet, says Daniel Ricciardo, who's off to McLaren. And keep that engine thawed, I'm coming, says Charles Leclerc. IndyCar looks safe, says Perez in sixth place. And in seventh place is Lando Norris, who's nostalgic for those Halcyon podium days earlier this year. In eighth place, hopefully Corona will be back and cancel all of next year's races. It's Carlos Sainz, who's going to Ferrari. And in ninth place, it's helping my mum with one last heist. It's Alexander Albon. 10th place, staying put, Pierre Gasly. 11th place is Dad says I have to do one more year to get the inheritance. It's Lance Stroll. 12th place, I can't remember who I am. It's Esteban Ocon. And in 13th, he's being sent to Siberia. It's Daniel Kvyat. 14th place, we all know I'll be shit still. It's Sebastian Vettel next year. And in 15th, it's I'll be in Red Bull but still get no podium. It's your favourite failure and mine, Nico Hülkenberg. I'm 92. It's Kimi Raikkonen in 16th. And most surprises you're about next year is Giovinazzi. 18th place is Romain Grosjean, who next year will be on French TV. Not the F1 coverage, he'll probably just be being gunged. It's Romain Grosjean. And in 19th, I'll be in IndyCar next year, and once a year you'll briefly remember I exist. It's Kevin Magnussen.
Brilliant.
And the constructors. In first place, it's 7th Heaven, it's Mercedes. In second place, it's 4, but no more, it's Red Bull. In third place, it's Renault, who have had 2 constructors. Oh, boo. In fourth place, it's 8, mate. It's McLaren Renault. In fifth place, what's the Racing Point? They've never won a championship. It's Racing Point. In sixth place, it's 16 if you're keen. They've won 16 championships of Ferrari. Not for a while. In seventh place, Alfa Nori, more like. It's Alfa Tauri. They've never won. And 2, if you do the do, it's Alfa Romeo, who have never won the Constructors, but the drivers, 2 Alfa Romeo drivers won the Drivers' Championships in the 50s before there was a Constructors' Championship. So maybe, maybe in America they'd win, but not in Britain. Or the world, I mean. I mean, not that Formula 1's British. It's very British. And in 10th place, it's 9. There's no rhyme. They've won 9. That's Williams. Remember that. They've won 9 Constructors' Championships.
They have. Fucking but again, dicks. Not for a while.
Not for a long
time.
When was the
last? Did they win it? Was it 97? Did they win it the same year Villeneuve won it?
Chica hadn't been born.
No.
Really? When was the last time they did? They won it?
What year were you born, Chica?
1990.
There you go. They've never won it since 1990. Fact.
Haven't they?
I mean, it's an incorrect fact, but it's still a fact.
Oh, no, those are the best kind of facts. Yeah.
And now it is time for Man of the Match of Driving. Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Unanimous.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Red Bull have gone full-on Ferrari and are threatening to quit F1 because they can't get an engine deal. And, like Ferrari, we know they actually won't quit, but we're only here for the gossip and the roller coaster, so strap in, folks. So what's happening? Well, Honda have done a Honda and spent years not being shit, and now have just quit when they aren't. And now Red Bull is left with the options of either going to Mercedes or Ferrari, not going to happen, stealing the Honda engines in some kind of Italian job-style heist, or the ignominy of going back to Renault, which is worth it if only for the Netflix special. Honda might sell them the engine tech, but not the spanners or the pencils needed to develop it further. So Red Bull have now threatened to quit unless the proposed engine freeze moves forward a year so that they're not left behind with old parts. Mercedes have said yes for two reasons. A, why not freeze the best engine with a great advantage? And also B, surely for shits and giggles to watch the ensuing fight as Ferrari desperately want every minute left to upgrade their dog turd of an engine and Renault just want to do anything to fuck up Red Bull. But don't worry, I have a solution. It's quite a mess, but that's F1 for you. A sensible option would be for there to be some kind of part standardisation in hybrid bits and kinetic bits, a base model that can be plugged in so at the very least a Cosworth or the like could come in and make the loud bits. But that's far too sensible for F1, and only last year when they had the Honda deal, Red Bull were dead against that kind of thing. So instead, I propose a radical solution of banning engines. Let's face it, if we got rid of engines, tyres and aero, we would basically stop all the things people moan about and Formula One would be perfect. But these engines are technical marvels, but it's also so complicated that no one but Mercedes can make them. So let's get rid of them entirely and just make sure that all the tracks in future just long downward slopes. It would be very expensive to remodel classics such as Spa as Monza in this way, but actually probably cheaper than building an F1 engine project from scratch. Bang, sorted.
I like it. Yeah. It's sort of like an F1 take on downhill mountain biking mixed with like a soapbox derby.
I mean, the only problem is that all races would have to be one lap because they'd run out of momentum.
Well, you just have a really wide track and you just let them all go at the same time.
Or like a ski lift.
Yes. Oh.
They get to the end, they go back up.
Oh, that's a tremendous
Basically,
idea.
What I think I'm proposing is that thing at the start of the year that was very popular but now has disappeared, of marble racing.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
That was the state of F1 brought to you this season by Carfection. And if you thought America was divided, you should look at the comments to Terry's latest video. Isn't that right?
My favourite comment was, how much is this guy paying Carfection to get on their channel? Which...
And it's actually not that much, is it?
No, I'm only paying them like 40 quid.
That's a pretty good deal, the exposure you're getting.
40 quid to ruin their channel.
So you can find the state of F1 right now at youtube.com/carfection and stick around to discover the best looking car content anywhere online. That is youtube.com/carfection. And that is it from us. It is goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about the fact that Mercedes are about to have some new boys and girls at their Brackley family HQ. It's the Formula E team are moving in with the F1 team. It's getting serious. Does this say something about the future of F1? I don't know.
And to Terry Saunders.
We also haven't had time to talk about McLaren maybe selling their HQ. Talking of HQs.
Are they?
Well... I was hoping you'd agree with that, Phil, because what happened...
If they are, I haven't heard about it.
I was walking past the Brit Smiths, and in GP Racing, it said, you could buy McLaren's HQ, and that's all I know about it, on the cover of a magazine.
I'm
so
Googling
it. Could just be a joke article.
Yeah, they put it up to sale. Oh, I've lost my internet. Oh, that's disappointing.
Either way, I can't afford it.
Oh, so, yeah. No, matter. Oh, this is the same story from like 3 months ago, where they said they were going to... do the sale and lease back thing and maybe sell some of the heritage fleet and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's not new news.
We'll be back in 2 weeks to discuss the Turkish Grand Prix in Turkey. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1'sSake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1'sSake. Terry, where can people buy merch?
ff1s.com/shop.
And don't forget to check out our film club pick from Carfection, a visit to the home of Williams. That is in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you in 2 weeks. I've been Chica Reyes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah.
Sports Social Podcast Network.